stations mark the hours, never late.
Hello, I'm Tiger. I play Charles Xander Juckles. No. Yeah, Charles Xander Juckles Doubleday. That's right. And I'm a tinker with an onion and a guts, fixer a machine with a knack for the nuts. And a fact that people don't know about Juckles is that while all of the other boys were learning to read, Juckles was just taking apart random things that he could find everywhere and never putting them back together.
Like his tricycle.
Like his tricycle, but then other stuff in the town. You know, fire hydrants. Do they have fire hydrants in here? Horse and buggies. Light posts.
Horses?
No, not the horses. I mean, he did take apart that bird that one time, and that's when Uncle Skluck told him, never murder anything. It was very formative.
Never kill anything.
Yeah, but that's why he never learned to read. He didn't think he would need to, that he could just figure it out by taking it apart. He never realized that you could just take letters apart. I mean, what are words but things to take apart? And sentences and paragraphs.
But he never puts anything back together.
I mean, eventually he had to when people started getting real mad, because he never really... He never really grew when all the other people grew. So he was always kind of small. And at a certain point, you know, you would get threatened physically if he were to take apart, say, you know, a high schooler's buggy convertible and his prom date. Not take apart the prom date, but the prom date was in the buggy.
I love that. I love the idea that he's got a convertible buggy, so it's just a cart.
Well, Juckles didn't. It was
the other guy. The jock.
Is it just a rickshaw?
Yeah. Are you just riding a horse at that point, really?
Well, no, there's a prom date there.
All right. I love it. Excellent. Wait, I got to write that down. Juckles.
Yes. Yes, please record this. Let the record show.
I write it down. If I understand it or read it later, you know, that's on me. Okay. I can go next. Hi, I'm Bridget. I play all the other characters. And this is about your date tonight, Evelyn. Evelyn was not originally going to be a TA. She really just wanted to get her degree and dipped. But, you know, she found that she really has a knack for university life. Also, she doesn't want to pay them bills when she graduates. So, you know, forever student.
Rack them up.
Rack it up.
It's like, wait, I paying off a
fan. Could I have done that?
What?
Could I have done that? Just stayed in college the rest of my life and never paid?
Yeah, they only start charging you once you graduate. If you never graduate, I mean, if you just keep getting degrees, you know, never have to pay. She's really gaming the system.
Wow, she's got it all figured out. I can't believe I'm dating her.
Real smart.
You're dating everybody. I thought you were dating the other girl, Lady High Hill.
Listen, Juckles has a lot of holes in his psyche that need filled by other people.
By women. Freeze He's got him. A lot of holes he needs filled by women.
Women and others. And yeah, father figures.
They've got you pegged.
Oh, I see what you did there. And various other people that tussle his hair.
All right. I'm Andy. I play Tarquish Squish Sunder. Something, something, boom, cauldron of boom, boom sauce, I think is what it says. And Squish's fact this time is that he has tinnitus really badly, but only in one ear.
So he doesn't have tinnitus that badly. Only half.
In one ear. In one ear, he's got it really badly.
Which one is it? Is that the mystery?
That's a mystery. You'll never know. You'll have to find out.
It keeps switching ears, so he's never quite sure.
He's not sure which one it is.
Wasn't that hump on the other arm?
What hump?
Yeah. He thinks he's got tinnitus, but it keeps switching ears, so he's just really confused.
Was it from anything? Like a gun?
No.
Maybe? Or,
not that,
or
not that he knows.
A punch?
It's just something that he's always had.
I don't. Yeah, he's never really put it together. Not really
sure. Yeah, he just thinks everyone has a ringing in their ears that switches.
So it's another one of those things where he thinks everybody's like him, but it turns out no one is like him because he's never seen or heard himself.
Yes.
Oh, because he's also colorblind too, which I do remember. He's also
so colorblind. He doesn't even know he's red. He thinks he's gray.
No, he just no. It's not. Are you also smell blind? 100% colorblind. That may or may not be for next week.
Are you colored? Wait, are you?
You're just going through the senses. Turns out he can't feel anything in his left foot.
His sense of taste is impeccable. That's why he's a cook. All his other senses are absolutely fucked. He's like
like Daredevil.
Yeah, he's a reverse Daredevil. Where one sense got fucked up for Daredevil, all his senses got fucked up for Squish.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe.
He can't feel his foot because he lost his toe.
That he lost has not his toe. Been revealed.
I don't know if you've lost a limb yet. I think you did. I thought you lost a toe
in this one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. What was your other? Oh, Taz.
I assume at some point in time you're going to lose a toe, and I'm excited just to be a part of it. Like,
you're going to cut his toe off?
Well, not me deliberately, but like as a not playing, as a not character, I'm just excited to see when is it going to happen.
If he didn't get it cut off when he jumped into the Leviathan, I don't know when it's going to happen.
That's true.
Yeah, Leviathans are known for toes, being cut off when you get eaten by them.
They're delicious.
All those Leviathan attacks by, old Nessie were all toe-based.
They're the jalapeno poppers of the foot.
Does Nessie count as a Leviathan?
Nessie's not real.
Yeah, neither are Leviathans.
And Leviathans are.
Neither are half demons.
That's not true.
That's where you draw the line, Ghosts are real, but like not Loch Ness, not monsters or
Sasquatch. Not Loch Ness.
Okay.
All right, Patches.
Oh. I'm Boo and I play a character with a more ridiculous nickname than my real life. Etches. Captain. Fair. Co-captain Pat Connor Patches McKenzie, and Yar, me fun fact for this week is me mother, she died at the sea when me was wee. And my father afterwards he raised me.
Raised by my father B.
The father he was quite, you hate?
I hate him now. He was quite neglectful. But he did raise me. So it's a complicated relationship.
All right. And he gave you your love of the sea.
And he gave me the love of the sea.
But your mom was lost to the sea.
My mom was lost for the sea.
Wow. Lost to the sea? Lost in the sea.
Yeah, lost to the sea. And,
Did you grow up on a boat?
What if she's alive?
I mean, near a boat.
Was it your
near
boat?
Near a boat? What, was it parked in your driveway?
It was somebody else's boat? It was the neighbor's boat?
How many facts am I supposed to be giving this week?
I don't know. Just playing in the space.
Fair
enough. Driveway boat is next week's fact.
Aye, boy. Don't be looking at the neighbor's boat. Someday, we'll have a boat.
Papa, why did they get to park their boat in the driveway? The HOA says it's not allowed.
Shut up, boy, or you're going in the ocean like your mother.
He was never okay after that. me father. After my mother was off to the sea.
Me father.
It's great if you just refer to him as me father. Never use that wrong possessive any other time. Except
just
for,
me father.
Who is it? It's just me father.
There's this funny scene, unrelated. There's this funny scene in the movie Popeye. I don't know why. It was just on TV the other night.
Oh, we watched it a little bit last night.
He's looking at this picture and he goes, me papa, me papa. And then he turns the camera and the camera looks like, and it just says the words me papa. He doesn't actually have a picture of him.
Otherwise, very fine film.
Town still exists to this day. Random facts.
Does it really?
Yeah. It's a tourist attraction. Thanks, Robin Williams.
Rip.
Okay, wait, hold on. Sorry. I feel like you guys really do need to see this. Hold on.
Me Papa?
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Waiting. Yeah, it's as dumb as they said. That frame looks like it's made of chocolate.
Delicious.
Delicious, me papa. And it just looks like it's just drawn on the back of the frame, like it's just the cardboard in the frame. Nope.
Wait, hold on. Is it that little boy again?
No. No, this is perfect. All right. All right. The picture on the front on the newspaper is a picture of a newspaper.
Yeah. Lockport legend, we stand personal growth. A moment of revelation. The crew met up with Tawny and Dee Dee and returned back to the ship. Although heavily ticketed, the ship was free from the current gaze of the Lockport Port Authority. Squish felt an overwhelming amount of guilt on the three SUK bullies. He decided to visit the Temple of the Downward Dog. While bent over, he had a sudden epiphany and was filled with love for Lady High Hill, Chuckles' long-distance girlfriend. Read between the lines. Chuckles and Patches had a momentary heart-to-heart between the pages of a book. Chuckles revealed his insecurities around his reading level, and Patches expressed his desire for closeness with his co-captain. They then raided Fitzclyde's closet. Patches found a neat tri-cornered hat, but Chuckles pulled out a mystical many-cornered hat. Imbued with a strange magic, he found that the hat would boost his charm to anyone he talked to while wearing it. Now everyone has a hat. He's going to need all that charm he can, because the crew's on their way to meet up with Evelyn Neb, a TA at SUK, who promised to know more information on the mysterious cabal who wants Neelix. Will they finally get some answers? Will Chuckles and Squish come to blows over Lady High Hill? Will they enjoy the Saganaki? Tune in today.
Saganaki.
What is that? Octopus? Leviathan?
It's a chicken dish with cheese on it, and then they light it aflame, and it smells like horse shit.
Oh no. We can't be around fire. We're recovering. Chicken.
I was just telling Bridget we need to get Hot Men back out. It's been a while. I feel like now we're actually neglecting him now. We really like our cross dresser butler really takes a lot right now. He doesn't burn true. Things.
I mean, we can still have Hot Men without him burning the city things. Down.
Hopefully. Also, a couple things I forgot to mention. One, this is episode 40, so happy 40. And two, this is definitely the hat trick season. We all got hats.
Yeah. We all got new hats. Yeah, I do. I don't want to dwell on it too long. I do want to quickly mention the picture. It's AI, obviously, and you know you feel like that the way you do. But goddamn, I gave it a very vague prompt, and that thing delivered. And I'm most impressed, one, that a red demon wearing a large Jamiroquai-style hat got this. And also, that now...
He looks like a putt-putt hole.
And now, canonically, Chuckles has a mustache.
Where'd this come from? It's part of my new charm.
It came with the hat.
It was Canva's AI, if that makes any feelings difference. But I did it because I was like, well, let's see what it does. And I was like, all right. You got me. All right.
Did get the right number of corners, too, because it is a five-corner hat.
I do believe I asked for a five-pointed hat.
Like a Mega Dunce's hat.
Hey.
That fits.
Hey. Just because I can't read.
All right. So you guys are walking together down the streets of Lockport. You have left the ship behind. And you're making your way onto the date, your date with Evelyn. Now, she did say she was going to meet up with you at Jorge's at a specific time. You guys did not remember the time. I did check my notes. It is 8 p.m. You were supposed to be there.
And what time did we get there?
Is it now?
We kept saying it's 8:41. Oh,
she's going to be pissed. I hope this hat is charming.
And as you walk down the street, you follow the directions. You kind of are in the nice, we won't say like the nicest part of town, but it's still very safe. It's very much like a middle class sort of area where you're walking through. So there's residential houses. There's some shops. There are restaurants and bars still open, even though it's like 8 o'clock. Again, Lockport's a big city. It doesn't really sleep in the sense that, you know, doesn't stop. But you guys are comfortable. It's that you feel a summer breeze. You're about to get some answers that you've been looking for. And as you approach the bar, you see it ahead of you. It says Jorge's, quite large on the sign.
Very well dressed, right?
Place.
Yeah, you guys did. I imagine dress nicely.
I imagine like we're walking. It's like we're walking down the street with the music. You can tell by the way I look. I'm a woman's man. Yeah, like, because we're all just really well. You
know? Yes.
Yeah, you guys
and my
all
mustache
got new
is flapping in the breeze.
You all got new hats. Squish has on his tall green hat. You have your interdimensional hat of many points. Squish has on a tricolored hat that he stole from the captain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we raided his closet, so we're wearing date clothes.
Yeah, so you're wearing.
And we're
date
very
clothes,
well
so
dressed tonight.
You look fresh.
And I'm wearing a huge tri-corner hat. Like it's almost comically too big.
Yeah, it's like one of those big cowboy hats.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's a tri-corner hat, and it's like very festive. I think I sent a picture of it with Tim Curry because that's who I'm basing my character off now. Yar.
That's true. Okay. You did send a picture of a very very large hat.
I'm sure you did.
Shut up.
There we go. Whoops. Yeah, there we go. So you guys head into Jorge's. And yeah, Jorge's is a towny bar. So it's filled with a lot of people. There are mostly adults, but you do see there's some children there too. There's drinking. There's eating. And you see when you walk in, it's pretty crowded. Evelyn is in the corner. You see her waving at you. Kind of like, hey, over here.
So we're
let's
all three
go
going.
Down.
Yeah,
she
let's
mad
go.
That we're 41 minutes late. Yes, that's why she's dating me.
No, I mean, is the room hot?
Oh, so why'd you say she?
It's crowded, and there are people there. I mean, obviously, it's crowded. It's crowded. It's warm, but I wouldn't say it's like sweltering or anything. It is. Good. It is warm though.
Unless you're wearing three frocks,
then it's sweltering
colors.
Then it's then it's toasty.
Then you are sweaty.
So we all walk
you
over.
See Evelyn in the corner. Yes.
Yeah. Let's go walk over there, and you know,
we all sit across from her. Like
as I walk over, can I grab a drink from an empty table?
Roll a survey to see if you roll your survey to see if you can find one quickly enough.
I need to have a drink if I'm going to go on a date.
Yeah, you find a drink, and it's a drink that somebody ordered and then forgot. So it's pretty fresh. It's a good drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Ahoy there.
Anybody else gonna crowd surf a drink?
No.
No, I let him do his style.
All right, well.
And I raise my glass to her as we walk up.
Ahoy, it's, you guys, I said 8 o'clock. I've been waiting here for like 46 minutes already.
I'm pretty sure you said 9 o'clock.
Why don't you read one of your precious books?
She does have a stack of books on
the table.
First
thing
you
do is gaslight and nag her.
I apologize
for
being late.
On the table. Yeah. So she, when you first saw her, she very much was in like her like student kind of, not necessarily uniforms. They don't wear uniforms, but clearly her collegiate wear. She's wearing something nicer now. Kind of just a pretty nice dress. Nothing super fancy because this is, again, kind of a towny bar. But she does have a stack of books next to her, and she's been reading through them and grading papers as she was waiting for you. So clearly she got off work, changed quick, grabbed her stuff, came over here. Well,
you're looking quite nice tonight.
Yeah.
Ravishing, I'd say.
Thank you. Yeah, Do you guys want to sit? You guys want to sit down? She points to the table around her.
Oh, I thought you never asked.
I see you have some books.
Precious
yeah,
books.
Yeah, I have to get through these. I'm writing my dissertation in advanced demonic theory. So, you know, got a lot of books. Maybe I'll interview you for the for my paper.
I'm a demon. You want to study me?
Are you trying to interview me anytime you want.
Are you all like simultaneously just flirting with her at the same time?
Yes, this always works. Almost always.
Okay. Oh, crap.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah, I kicked the stick out of beneath my seat and fell. Anyway, go on.
Carry on.
Continue. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that sounds really impressive. Tell me more about your day.
Do you guys want something to eat first, or around by? I said to give him just like a few more minutes. They're about to give me some pity bread.
Yeah, I'll have some milk steak.
What would you like, my dear? Do you like some cheese sticks?
Or
I heard the saganaki here was great.
I just assumed you guys would order your own meals. And as she says that, this waitress comes by, and she's very much like a middle-aged woman who's been waitressing her whole life. She kind of has that fake, like, customer service smile, and she goes, "Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to Jorge's. Have you had a chance to peruse the menu yet?" As she says that, she shoves the menu under your face, which, so, of course, you have not had a chance to peruse the menu. This is your first chance seeing this.
How's your milk steak here?
Milk steak? We got the best milk steak in all Lockport.
I'll have two, please. Wait, who's paying? Us, I guess. Yeah. We're on a date.
She was about to get pity bread. I don't think she's going to pay for our food.
Yeah, it's literally I thought that was just a fancy. Bread. It's literally that was called French. Pity bread in the menu.
No,
la pete bread. La pain, la pete.
Yeah.
La pain, la grille.
La pan la grille, la pan la pity.
Okay, well, I have a milk steak and a side of jelly beans, please.
All right. Milk steak with a side of
jelly beans.
Bring me your finest yeast sticks.
Cheese sticks?
The fine ones.
And a round for my friends.
Now, are you talking about the dairy substance shaped like a steak, or are you talking about bread with cheese in it?
The first one. Sticks of cheese, please.
For everyone.
The one where you like peel pieces of cheese off of it?
Yeah. It's a fantastic dinner. Haven't you ever had it for dinner before?
No. In fact, I have not eaten a lot of dinners.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm a street rat.
This is out of character. It's just Tiger talking.
Hey.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Well, why don't you ask Squish what he wants?
And you fine, sir.
I'll have the saganaki with a little bit extra tarragon. And can we get her an order of not pity bread?
And our congratulations, Brad. All right.
Wow.
That's.
Does it come with a candle?
I mean, it's the opposite of pity, right? It's congratulations.
Oh, can you put a candle in there?
That'll cost extra.
Candle. No candle. It's fine.
All right. Well,
yay or nay on the candle?
Nay.
Nay, no. I guess. Sorry, Evelyn, I tried.
Candle. Mild congratulations, then. All right.
Mild.
And for the lady, will she be having anything besides bread? Evelyn,
she'll have your strongest liquor.
Takes a glance at the menu and orders a Denver omelet.
What is this, a Denny's?
They do breakfast all day.
It is a Jorge's. Did you get it yet?
Yeah, I know. I got it. We went through it before, but I guess I didn't realize they had breakfast all day.
Yeah, I just had an omelet there last night.
Yeah, the dentist. No, you had a cheese omelet. We did just eat there last night. That was not fun.
Did you have cheese sticks too?
I had cheese sticks afterwards. My fridge.
Now, you keep saying cheese sticks. Do you really mean cheese? This is, you're getting cheese sticks, but like, did you mean like cheesy bread sticks?
No, I meant cheese sticks.
He meant like peeling cheese.
Yeah, and no, I don't peel, and for the record, I don't peel cheese sticks anymore. I just go right for it. I just dig right in.
You've really grown. Like,
yeah, after 12th like grade, I decided I started.
Oh, I thought you wanted the fried ones with marinara.
I did initially, but I changed my mind.
I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind.
Wait, is there meatloaf on the menu?
In character.
I'm just joking. Yeah. I was kidding.
That story is the conclusion, which is that it was the worst meatloaf your dad ever had.
Oh, yeah. That part of the story
never gets told.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Did Andy ever hear that story about my dad?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we went to George's and he ordered a whole meal. And then as he's walking away, he goes, wait a minute. You have meatloaf? Yeah. I've changed my mind. And he ordered meatloaf. And then, like, we told that story for years and years. And I told it to him at Christmas. And he goes, I remember that meatloaf. It was terrible. I remember that meatloaf. It was bad.
It was awful.
Oh, anyway, so, continue.
Sorry, yeah. So as she walks away, she looks at the group of you and she goes, I guess we're here.
Yeah, no, thank you for meeting us under such romantic circumstances.
Very romantic.
Very, very romantic. But I've heard, you have interests that may be important for us to know about. You're a student of cults. Flower smelling cults.
Right? Cults. No, I'm a student in demonic studies, but
oh, that's right.
I work with Vester Vale, and I know you guys were asking about that book about Neelix, right?
Oh, that's right. Which was not stolen. We borrowed it fair and square.
Same with Neelix.
And Neelix. Oh, you know Neelix.
Well, I remember when he came back with Vale, Professor Vale, when he came back with that book, he was so excited. I mean, he was just like all a Twitter, no bird pun intended. And he was so excited about this book, and he was talking about this old flame he used to have who owned Neelix, and, you know, just went on and on and on and on. Well, you know how he can be. He can kind of be a little chatty guy, real chatty guy. And,
chatty.
Anyway, later, he said that he had gotten broken into, right? That his office had been broken into and that someone had stolen those pages.
That's right. He took the pages.
Of the book.
Of the book.
That we borrowed.
Would not ever do that, especially in front of a woman.
Never steal anything.
Flashback.
Well, I was... Flashback. Uncle Skylock is ripping a dead bird out of your hands and says, stop stealing my dead birds.
That's for company.
That's the bird's company.
Yes. Probably still in jail.
I think he's dead.
He's not dead.
You don't know that.
I love him. Like an uncle.
He's not dead.
Which means he'll never die.
Yes, I have plot armor.
And that's why you did the conjugal visit with him?
I think he agreed never to talk prison. About that again.
Yes, that's a sore subject for me.
Very sore.
Hey. but I do imagine we are actually having this in character, and
yeah, she's just staring like agape. Like
the thing is, I bet you she knows what conjugal means.
Yeah, because she's got glasses. Of course, she knows what it means. I can't read.
And I'd appreciate
it if you quit drawing attention to it all the time. So, these pages were stolen. That's why they were ripped out of our borrowed book. What do you like? We all know that he had a blistering hot summer with our former captain, who's may he in peace. But what do we know? What do we know about his enemies that would take something like this out of a book?
Well, I saw the guy who stole it.
That's right. I remember that because I was listening to you. And who was it? Do you have any descriptions of him?
That's right.
He works. What I was trying to get to is I saw someone. I'm assuming the person break into Dr. Vale's office. I saw them like pick the lock and bust the door down, and then like 10 minutes later. With the pages. I don't know why anyone else would go into his office. Most people don't like Westervale. I mean, he's got a type.
Sucks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
so you
anyway,
hate your boss, huh? We have a lot in common.
I mean, he's just kind of a weird dude. He just goes off on these really long tangents about things I partially only understand. And he claims to be an expert in ghosts and demons, but the guy's checking out books from the library instead of writing them, which he should be doing. He's a professor. How did he get tenure at this university?
Sounds like he's a really jerk ass dude.
You want us to kill him?
Bird brain.
He's a bird brain.
No, I mean he's nice.
I'm totally intended.
Pun intended there. He's totally nice. He's just kind of a weirdo. And, you know, he's really nice to me. But, like, look at these papers. I have to grade all of these. I don't think he's looked at a single one of them. He doesn't remember half the students he's ever had.
He remembered Captain Fitzclyde.
I'm assuming they were a little bit close. I'm sure they were more conjugal than his average student.
I don't remember any schooling I ever had.
Chuckles knows that word.
What?
Conjugal.
No, I don't. That's what's got us in this mess.
Anyway.
Sorry. It's a professor. It's a botany professor at SUK. His name is Tam Mazaran.
Ooh. Oh, so you know who it is.
He stole the pages?
Why didn't you confront him?
Yes. Because he's a professor with tenure, and I would like to eventually be a professor. I can't just go around accusing staff members of breaking into other staff members' rooms. And when I told Westervale of it, he, like, forgot in 2 minutes.
Hmm. Why didn't you tell us this at the school? Now we gotta go back to the school?
And buy you dinner?
I don't know what he's up to, but I mean, if you guys saw Tam Mazaran, you'd know he's a weird dude. There's like all sorts of people. I don't know. He's into shit. Okay, man. Like everybody in this stupid town is in some poor kind of cult one way or the other. And they're really into it, man. That's what makes it different than a church, right? Because they're really into it. And he's part of something, and he's weird, and I didn't want anything of it. And when I told Westervale, he's like, well, I don't know why anyone would deface a book. And then he just
spot on.
He just like just kind of just wrote me off. And so now I'm stuck writing his, you know, reading and grading his papers, basically teaching his whole stupid class intro to demons.
Well, I could help you grade
it's
paper.
It's like a class of like 200. You'd help me grade
papers?
Oh,
absolutely.
He doesn't know anything about demons. Don't,
she doesn't know that.
I can help you grade papers.
He does now.
Just give me a red pen. I'll take the rest.
She pulls out a red pen from her book bag and basically takes this like very large stack of papers and splits them into like four. She keeps a stack. She gives a stack to you.
Oh, teamwork!
Chuckles and she gives a stack to Patches and she holds one out to Squish, although you did not offer.
Yeah, no, we'll get this done in no time.
I grab it and I hand it to Juggles.
Oh yeah, no, I'll take yours too.
Okay, good.
You know what? Do you have a marker?
She pulls out another marker just for you.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah, we can take care of this.
No problem.
No problem. I bet you I get it done before the night's done.
Shit.
Can you tell us where this Pam Anderson office is?
Wait, what's his name? Anderson?
Pam Anderson?
Tam Mazaram.
Tam Mazaram.
Pam Anderson.
Yeah, where's his office at?
He's in the botany hall right across from the demonic studies hall.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
That's where Westervale's office is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like on the other side of that courtyard.
All right.
And he's a botany professor.
Do you have a key or something so he can get in there at nighttime?
He has a key to his office, but I don't have access to it.
No, but I mean, the front gate or something.
Oh, I mean, I have that. I can get you into the front
gate. Yeah, that's it. We'll take care of the door. To his office.
And
with a brick.
One more thing.
We are going to break into this place.
What is botany?
It's
the study of plants.
Okay.
Not the study of buttons. That's botany.
Oh. Well, okay. Plants.
That's a really good one. You guys should...
Thanks for letting me know.
Before she says another thing, the waitress comes back and she's got like just like her both arms just full of this food.
Yeah.
Because you have ordered, as you remember, two milk steaks with a side of jelly beans, Saganaki with extra tarragon, cheese sticks for everyone, a set of congratulation bread, and a Denver omelet.
All right.
So she comes in covering all of these trays, and it is. You know, like the Saganaki with extra tarragon is actually just a plate of tarragon. So like a plate of extra herbs that they've handed to you. You have your milk steaks, which are steaks dripping in milk. A whole plate of jelly beans.
They just took a grilled steak and poured milk over it.
Ah, this looks great.
Two of them.
Thank you.
She has a basket of the congratulations. The congratulations bread, which does look like a little bit nicer than regular bread, but, you know, still just kind of free bread. Cheese sticks, 5 rounds of cheese sticks, and a Denver omelet.
Who got the omelet?
And she puts it all out on the plate, and she, like, moves some of the papers out of the way, you know, and puts it on there. And she's like, oh, wait, one more final thing. And she turns around, and she has what looks like one of your ghost bottles. Not yours, but a ghost bottle. And she goes, all right, here we go. And she shakes it. And, you guys recognize that this is a demon that's been trapped within the bottle. And it just spits out a perfect little fireball. And the Saganaki goes aflame. And everybody in the restaurant, of course, looks at you and it's like, woo, you know, cheering and, you know, they're all very excited. It's like when fajitas come out and they're sizzling and everyone's like, ooh, the fajitas. And she puts it on there and then, you know, it dies out. And she goes, do you guys need anything else?
I start eating it before the fire dies out.
Oh, okay. Wow, he's really just going to town on that flaming cheese.
And I start eating the milk steak. Well, first I have a taste of the milk. It's fresh. And then I eat the milk steak.
How do you?
I stick the cheese stick in my mouth with a cigar.
I have follow-up questions about that. That's funny. How dare you? Do we have cheese sticks? You want an actual prop?
It's like that scene in the Blues Brothers where they're eating at a fancy restaurant and they're just complete ingrates.
Do you pick the milk steak up and like drink it from the bowl, yeah, or like do you bring your head down and drink it like a cat?
Yeah,
like a kitty. Like a little.
No, I stick my thumb. I push my thumb in the top of the steak and push it down to see the consistency of the steak, and then I pull up a thumb with a little bit of milk on it, and I just take a taste. I think, oh, that's fresh. Compliments to the chef.
Well, I'm sure she'll be very...
Not you.
I'm sure she'll be very glad to hear it.
Wait, she?
Yes, women can be chefs.
Weird.
Andy, is this true?
I thought this was the past.
I've never seen one. Wait, Andy or Squish?
It's Andy. I've never seen one.
I meant that as Squish.
All right.
But I heard that as Andy.
Yeah, I start chowing down.
So you really enjoy it. You start chowing in on your on your meals. Everyone just roll a single die just to see how good your meals are. And if anyone gets a six, I'll give you a point of XP.
Nope, I did the exact opposite.
Holy shit. This really hit the spot, these two milk steaks. So fresh.
It was okay. I ate one and keep the other one in my mouth like a cigar and throw the rest in my pocket.
Did you eat any of them?
Pocket cheese.
I rip off half of the congratulations bread and spread the Taganaki cheese on it and eat it.
Nice.
This was a damn good milk steak. It is just, you know, as somebody who was very malnourished as a kid, you do appreciate a good cup of milk. And now you got milk and the meat with it. It's really the whole cup of milk.
The whole cow and chicken.
Exactly.
You got the whole thing. Yeah.
Where do you think milk comes from?
Patches, yours is. Does Chuckles know where milk comes from?
Good question.
Comes from a bottle. It says something on it. It could be milk.
What the hell is milk?
Now with vitamin
R. We only get milk.
Sorry, that's milk. We only got milk in Lockport. And then Patches, yours is okay. It's pretty standard. But Squish, this is the worst Saganaki. If you've ever had it before, you know that this is horseshit.
Bad Saganaki is bad.
And you had your own restaurant that you ran. So you know this is terrible. And in a huff, you stand up to go approach the chef.
Who's a woman.
In the back. Who is a woman. And you
throw, pretty sexy, you though, march, right?
You march back there. You throw the doors aside, ready to yell. And what you see is Chef Roselle from old...
The Gilded Plum?
Dun, dun. The Gilded Plum.
Oh boy.
And she is just cussing her staff out. I cannot believe you will do this to me. Look at this. Look. And she's like doing one of these on the food. She's like, this is absolutely pitiful. What kind of horse shit do you want me to send out there? He says it's terrible. And then she gasps. Squish? Is that you?
Yeah, it's Squish. That was terrible.
She runs back and just unprompted. This is not a woman who is very emotional. Gives you just the largest hug that, you know, she possibly could give you.
I tap her very gently on the back twice.
Oh, I cannot believe what wonderful news this is. When you left Duskfall in a hurry, well, everyone said that you had done something horrible, but I knew that wasn't true. Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
Well,
sorry, give me one second.
Oh boy,
she's gonna go get a cheese stick.
You really want it? Really got her going.
No, she's going to get milk.
I was just turning on the, which I actually do have. No, I have cheese sticks too. Anyway, I was turning the fan on because I can hear myself on Brandon's camera. Ooh.
How?
And she, yeah,
that's going through my ears.
I'm hearing some echo, so.
It's not me then.
Oh, well, doesn't matter. She's very happy to see you. She's very happy to see you, Squish. And she starts just rambling in her whatever native tongue was. And she's like, I had to shut down the Golden Plume. I lost my best chef. And so I come to Lockport. I think I take in a little bit of sun. I take in the culture. And it turns out these people have the worst taste buds I have ever seen.
Yeah, if that's what passes in Saganaki.
I know.
And you just gave me a whole plate of tarragon?
So who did this? Who did this plate? And some poor young intern comes up and she just takes, which I'm assuming you brought with you, the plate of Saganaki, and just chucks it right at the wall. It shatters. There's cheese everywhere. And she goes, you hear an extra tarragon and you give him a plate of tarragon? Do you know how much expensive? A whole plate. Do you know how expensive this is?
I do.
But I'm so sorry.
That's crazy. What
have you been up to?
Where have you been? Killing some things. I went to my homeland. I fought a cult. Not one year, but a different cult. I'm co-captain of a ship now. So that's pretty cool. Been doing a lot with rutabagas. a lot of rutabaga cooking.
Well, that also sounds wonderful.
I got an ape now.
I think it's a chimp.
You've got an ape. You've got an ape now.
Her name's Dee Dee. She smokes cigarettes. It's pretty cool.
She sounds like a wonderful woman.
She's a good ape. So the hell did you end up here in this shithole?
Listen, after all that happened in Duskville, after Baz's death, the city went fucking nuts. And I thought,
I forgot we killed Baz.
Baz?
No, we did.
Oh, not we did.
You did?
Only one of us shot a rifle that blew his head clean off. There were not three fingers on that trigger.
Yeah.
That's a pure example of the dice rolls not agreeing with anybody.
That was me.
Hey, you know that whole thing you got planned? I'm just going to blast him in the face and get a critical. Okay. I can't believe you killed Baz. Were you working for him?
We were contracted by him, yeah.
Because that's what I heard. And then when Baz died, I thought, well, clearly whoever killed Baz has it out for these guys. And so you went on the run, and then I had to shut down the restaurant because I lost my best chef. And, well, then I decided I'll go, go to Lockport. Why not? It's right across the sea. It's a short ride. If I don't like it, I'll go back. And that was feels like 3 years ago.
What cult are you in?
I have not yet joined a cult. I am cultivating a few.
I have not yet joined the cult.
The Downward Dog is pretty cool.
I have heard of the Downward Dog.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool one. But, hey, get your shit in shape over here. I'm going to come back, and if it's not good, I am going to start yelling.
But, I mean, do you need a job?
Not right now. Well, actually, let me check. Hey, guys, you got offered a job? Should I take it, or what are we doing?
So you'd stay here forever? Yes.
You pay off our tab?
Oh, yeah. Also, yes. That reminds me. I don't know how we're going to pay for this tab.
Oh, yeah. No.
Milk steak's very expensive this time of year.
Yes.
It's like strawberries.
Roselle, yes. Take care of our dinner for us. And I'll give you a new recipe.
That's a pretty damn good offer.
But who's going to cook it?
With rutabaga.
You obviously don't have anyone here who can cook worth a damn except milk steak. This milk steak was fucking delicious, by the way. Why am I back here now?
You've held down the walkie-talkie button, so, you know, you're just talking. Roll your sway.
Way away.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
You've always been a good friend to me, and I would love to have you, you know, bring you aboard and have you work, but it would have to be from the ground up, and there's absolutely no way I can cover your tab. I mean, is this right? You ordered a side of jelly beans? Do you know how hard it is to find jelly beans here?
No.
No.
Well, it was hard. We had to send some guy out to go get it. I will try to talk to the owner, but I cannot get your bill paid. But if you want a job, you know, we could have you start again from the bottom, peeling rutabagas.
What? All right, if I work for you tonight, will it clear my tab?
No, I don't need you tonight. This is a mild crowd for us. Wait until Fish
and
Friday.
And you're still doing terrible.
Get out of my kitchen.
She's pissed.
I fart and walk out.
Got her.
The characters just cross over.
Yeah. Health code violation.
You leave. Meanwhile, it has been Chuckles and Patches sitting at the table, and you guys are like between, you know, grading the papers and reading them. So, Patches, are you, well, let's start with Chuckles. Chuckles, I'm assuming your reading skills probably not up to reading.
Oh,
many, many.
Absolutely not.
Papers.
I'm just giving everyone 100.
Okay, so you're just writing down 100 on
Yeah, I'm like Robin Hood. I'm stealing from the rich and giving to the dumb.
I'm stealing from the smart and giving to the dumb.
Patches, what are you doing?
I'm earnestly critiquing
these.
Oh, I'm skimming them, and I'm not giving them. I'm giving like middling
just
grades,
roasting everyone, just writing just vile insults. You're Simon Cowell of paper graders.
Like on the back, on the front one, C+, trite and pedantic. And next one, C-,
trite and pedantic.
You know, a little overthought. The next one, little underthought. You know, next one, little undercooked.
Oh, so are you actually reading them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm skimming them. I can speed read.
Oh.
But, you know, what they don't tell you about speed reading is that when you speed read, you lose about 90% of comprehension. So.
Oh, then I'm a good speed reader.
90%?
What?
Then I can speed
90%
read.
90% of comprehension?
Maybe 50. Oh,
you can read it really fast. You're only going to know 10% of what you read. I could just read 10% and get the same outcome.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, this is out of character, right? This is not. I'm not talking out loud. I'm not saying.
Yeah,
this.
No.
I speed read then, except not very
fast. No, that's
fast.
That's actual fact. It wasn't 90%, but it's 50%. That's actual fact. The world's fastest speed reader loses about 50% comprehension.
How can anyone know that?
The speed reader told them.
Oh. Yeah, I got about half.
I mean, only get about half of what they said.
Why would he admit to that?
Because they can't know it's 90%. So he said something. Yeah. I'm going to have you. Let me just quickly look at this number here. I'll go ahead and throw your study.
Who? All of us?
You. You, Patches.
Good thing I don't have to throw my study.
Huh. So while you're, you know, reading through these papers, you notice that Evelyn kind of keeps glancing at you. She kind of keeps, like, as she's, like, reading her paper, she kind of, like, you know, just keeps looking at you. You assume that it's her flirting with you, though.
Oh, I'm flirting right back. I'm, like, grading papers, like, it's like, hey. And then I put down, like, very, very undercooked. I start describing all the papers as, like, bad food. I found this one a little spicy for my tastes. Thank you.
Quite dry.
You're hungry while you're...
Well, I only ate one cheese stick.
Oh, that's right. You're saving the rest.
Put the rest in my pocket.
That's the best place to keep them.
Even though you ordered a round of five for everybody.
Well, yeah. A man
or
grows.
Or four, I guess. There's four of you. A man grows. And she goes... Do you remember me at all?
Ellen?
My name's Evelyn. I have told you that.
Oh, no. No. So, little thing. I have a slight condition. It's called amnesia. Got hit in the head falling off a boat when I was viciously mutinied upon. I got my revenge, though, and me and my mutineers are co-captains now, but was it good? Was a good first impression, or are you maybe mistaking me for somebody else? Because, you know, I don't remember.
You took Westervale's class like 6 years ago.
What? I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like, I was my first year as a TA.
No. I didn't go to the Society of Universal Knowledge.
I went to
the Fraternity of Universal Knowledge.
That's a different acronym.
Ah, the fuck.
Oh, that's fuck.
No, I mean, I remember you. You, like, well, like, you didn't really come to class. I mean, when you showed up, you, like, slept through everything. You don't remember anything from that time at all?
I was so good at class that I just slept through it, you know. I got all B's, you know. They called me Ace because I got all B's.
And you kept saying that things were spicy or salty or too sweet.
Yeah,
a little saccharine.
I mean... you know, I don't remember much. I know, yeah, sorry. The amnesia again and the sleeping, probably as well.
Don't forget the drinking.
And the drinking. Oh, fuck. I did forget about that. I drink a lot, and I pull out a bottle out of my huge pocket leg.
You drink so much, you've forgotten about the drinking.
That's how bad it is. It's a good sign.
That's how you know it's bad, when you don't admit you have a problem.
Well, I mean, after disappeared. After, I mean, I don't keep up with a lot of the students. I just remember you and your strange coat.
It was red. Now it's gray.
It still has it on. It's reversible. It's on the underside.
Yeah. Right? Was it red back then? I think so. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. It's just,
I thought you got the red frock after you beat up the captain.
It's not like the green one he's got on right now.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's green.
I had a frock coat. I don't remember what color it was. I go through a lot of colors. All right? Maybe back then it was green. Maybe it was blue. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to get my, whatever going on here, and I don't remember nothing.
Can we have
the key to the front gate?
No, I gotta finish grading all these papers first.
Oh, I'm done.
You're done?
No, I finished that like 10 minutes ago.
Well, here, let me see.
You've got some bright students.
Well, I found them. I found them a little, you know, a little soggy and
moist.
A little soggy and moist, in my opinion. A little gritty.
I mean, great. I mean, I really appreciate it. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. It really saves me a lot of time. Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, I can get you into the front gate, but that's as far as I can take you guys. I can't be seen breaking into a professor's office.
That's fine. We got it.
Would you like to hold hands as we walk to the gate?
No.
No, thank you. But
I thought I had it for sure. I thought I had it in the bag.
Now, since you remember me, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. What about with one of us?
No, yeah, I mean, you seem to remember me. I must have been pretty cute back then.
Feel like you should hold one of our hands.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Or we're gonna keep arguing about this.
We bought milk steak and cheese sticks.
Well, we didn't buy it.
All right. If you want to roll your sway with your bonus from your hat, you can go ahead and roll sway. And if you do well, she'll hold your hand.
Me?
Yeah, Chuckles.
Oh, boy. Did you look at my character sheet and see how I have zero in sway? And then said, yeah, fuck it. You can do it if you want.
Well, I gave you a bonus for your hat. I said I'd give you a bonus for your hat last session.
One.
You got to use it.
Oh.
One boner.
She
doesn't slap me in my face.
Can hold hands. She puts her hand out, and you go to hold it, Treples. And you know how some people just have, like, bad hands? Some people have really, really sweaty hands. Mm-hmm. Like, their palms mm-hmm. are sweaty. Some people mm-hmm. have, like rough, dry skin. Mm-hmm. She's the latter. You go to hold her hand, and you get an instant. It's kind of like holding a dry sponge.
Oh,
he's got man hands.
I recoil immediately, and I say, "Oh, maybe you can hold Squish's hand,
or Captain's,
or that guy, or Pet,
or that guy,
or the great Captain."
I mean. All right, and she gathers up the papers and she goes, I'll meet outside with you guys in just a second, okay? Let me take care of the bill and we'll go to.
Oh, nice.
We'll go to the university.
I'll be on dates more often.
Great.
Yeah, don't worry about tip. Jeff Rozelle says she's got the tip.
Does she? I thought she yelled at you to get out of the kitchen.
And she's not gonna cover any of it.
You guys leave and go stand outside of Jorge's, and you have a minute before Evelyn comes back.
I say, lads, I think this is going very well. Although I do not remember going to school. College, am I right?
Yeah, if you remember it, you weren't there.
Exactly. There's a time and place for everything.
I say.
That's college.
I say I get her on Friday and Saturdays, and... Squish, you can have her on Sundays and Mondays. And Captain, you can have her on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I can have her at night. How about nighttime?
Yeah, nighttime on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Thursdays, we'll take turns. We'll spit. Yeah. I think we made a real good impression.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely in love with both of us at the same time.
She
no, I'm sure she tolerates you too.
Yeah, you know, in your hat. You got a nice hat, by the way.
It's a hat.
It's furry.
We all have nice hats now.
It's a fur hat.
That's true. Everyone has hats.
Everybody has hats.
Everybody has hats. Everybody has hats.
Hats.
All right, let's go to the gate. Let's Let's follow.
Won't she meet up with us?
Whoops. Wrong one.
Whoop. She got lost.
Yeah, so you guys walk to the gates of SUK, and she stops a little bit beforehand. She goes, this is as far as I can be seen with you guys. I mean, after what you pulled on campus earlier, I'm sure there are going to be extra patrols and people looking out for a man in a green hat. Although with your two new hats, who knows, maybe they won't recognize you. I don't know. But can I ask one favor before I go?
I already touched your hand.
Jesus Christ.
Hi. 30 seconds, but no tongue.
30 seconds.
Can I see Neelix?
Oh, well. Oh, sure, the ghost pirate can come right here and show you his old ghost buddy. Can I summon Neelix then? Do I have to do anything?
No, he's on. I'm assuming you brought him with you, right?
Yeah, he's always nearby. Neelix, my old friend, my old good wingman. Why don't you come on out and join the party? It's a party.
You call for Neelix, and normally when you call Neelix, he comes straight out of his bottle. But go ahead and Patches, roll your command. Actually, I take that back. Have you rolled it? Don't do anything yet. Roll your survey first.
Survey says Neelix.
You, in a fit of anger, just go in and you pull out the bottle where Neelix is, and you just hand her straight over to Evelyn.
I do. I just gave the bottle.
Yeah. Because he didn't come, so you just handed the bottle over.
Can I slide on the opposite side of her?
Yeah.
So we're both on. So like, if she wants to run, I'm going to be right there.
She's just holding Neelix's bottle in her hand, and she's kind of like holding it, and she's like looking at Neelix. Now, so here's the thing: she is a student of this particular field, so she knows how to handle these bottles. So she's looking at it, and she's kind of turning it around. If anyone else wants to roll their sway. Or I'm sorry, their survey. They definitely can, but it's up to you.
I didn't even think about looking for anything, but now that you mentioned it, maybe I am looking for stuff.
Tiger, what's
this
your survey?
This is kind of unusual.
Nothing.
This is kind of unusual. Neelix never refuses to come out of his bottle. He's very flamboyant and he likes people. So you guys have never seen Neelix kind of not respond before.
Hey, what the hell's going on,
Neelix?
I start yelling at
the turn the bottle hand. Upside down.
Start pat it like, out like
it's a ketchup bottle.
Yeah, ketchup bottle. That's a technical way of doing it.
Yeah, hit him on the 57.
So, let's see. Failure. Squish, you are the only one, since you have slid up next to her, you are the only one that has noticed that within the bottle itself, Neelix is still there. You can kind of see this, like, mass, this form that is Neelix. He's shaking. He's tremoring inside of his bottle. And you also notice that Evelyn's a little reluctant to give it back. She does hand the bottle back to you, Patches.
Uh-huh.
You take it, you know, stuff it away. But she was hesitated just a bit. Just a minute to hand him back.
Does he pretty impressive stop ghost. Shaking once the bottle goes back to Patches?
Yes. Yeah, as soon as he's back in Patches' hand, he stops shaking. She kind of gives you guys a nice smile. She's like, thanks for dinner tonight. I mean, it was definitely an experience. I hope to see you around campus later. But I think I probably should go now before I get caught doing whatever it is that you guys do.
All right.
You sound like a rowdy bunch.
Well, thanks for the dinner, Tuts.
Yeah.
She laughs earnestly at your joke, She's like not offended that you've called her toots. She laughs and she goes, "Oh, maybe we'll have to do something one on one next time, huh?" And she tousles your hair.
Oh my god!
So did she unlock the gate?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. She did. She didn't unlock the gate, but she did give you her key, which is like a general skeleton key that can get you into like. Kind of like when you're a faculty member, you can get into certain doors, not all doors, right. But like she can get into into the front door, into like the office, like the general wing where she works.
And I presume.
All right, let's go find this.
She can get into Westervale's office. All right, let's go find this Tanzazarin's.
Wait, do you think we can talk? Office. Do you think Patches? I'm kind of curious. Well, I guess I didn't see him shake. I don't know if you relayed that information to me, but it might be interesting to ask.
After she leaves, yeah, I bring it up to both of you. Did you see when she was holding the bottle?
Let's see if Neelix, what he has to say. Neelix, you want to come out and play?
He's on.
No.
Why?
I don't know. I get a bad feeling from that chick.
Like what?
Oh, really?
Like she's
was she badly dressed?
She's actually a man?
She also a ghost?
I don't think she's a ghost. I didn't like the way she was looking at me. Nobody looks in my bottle. My bottle is my space.
But we're all looking in your bottle right
my
now.
My place where. When you say we're looking in your bottle right now, he does materialize outside of his bottle, just to kind of stick it to you. Like I just it felt weird. I didn't like it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well. Well, maybe if he'd come out, we'd be all on that you know, going on a third date.
Yeah, you really blew this for
another
us.
Another date.
You know. I don't know, sir. She sounds like she quite liked you.
I don't remember going to that building at all. I do remember going to class a lot, but I swear to God, I thought it was said F instead of S. But, I mean, it could be just because I, you know, dirty mind and all, and I was drunk at the time. What do you guys think? I'm surprised about that as much as you are.
Yeah, I think something rubbed him the wrong way, but clearly he's not going to tell us anymore. So get back in the bottle, you old fruit.
What?
Wow.
No good?
You commanding him back into his bottle. I don't know what your command is. I can't imagine it's very good.
Are you saying that I've spent my entire XP... not on anything except tinkering, you would be correct.
Yeah, he doesn't even acknowledge that you've said something to him.
Fair.
About going back into the bottle. But yes, you guys are standing outside of the gates of SUK. It's nighttime now. The gates have been locked. Evelyn mentioned that there might be a heightened security presence, and you have seen that. You see, before you even approach the main gates, that there seems like there's more lights on than should be for a nighttime university. You kind of hear people talking. Since the unfortunate events on campus earlier that day, there has been an increase in security.
This is all the same day?
Throughout the whole campus.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Could you imagine the shooters returned
that night? The shooters always return to the scene of the crime.
That night.
That doesn't so, yeah, worry, you have, Squish.
No, clearly not.
You guys have not been seen or anything. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you have noticed an increased security presence.
All right.
So, well, I'm going to skulk over to Tam Zazarian's office.
Yeah, let's go.
Tam Azaram.
Ahoy. Are you going through the front door?
I mean, should we sneak through the front door?
So you take the key, you open up the front door.
We're in.
You walk through. There's this, like, if you look at the picture, you see where this domed area is. That's the front gate. You're walking in. There's this little vestibule that's hidden in darkened shadows. As you cross into the vestibule and you go into the first courtyard, there's two courtyards. The first one you have to cross. The second one is where the offices are. You see that yes, there are four guards patrolling the area. They are walking up and down the courtyard in pairs.
So there's only two groups.
Two groups, well, two guards each, four all together.
So time to skulk about.
Oh yeah, I'm prowling right through that.
Prowl it.
I'm gonna follow one group as soon as they turn around, start walking towards the opposite side. I'm gonna follow them pretty closely.
Okay. Roll for your prowl.
All right. And my hat gives me an extra.
That's true.
Making no logical sense at all.
Well, I critically succeeded.
Yeah, so are you skulking? Sorry, let me write that down. Yeah, so you are able to kind of match the guard's steps. So there's two guards, one heading this way, one coming the other way. And you're able to kind of match your steps with the guards going towards the second courtyard that you kind of disappear into the shadows. You're able to kind of use the natural environment to hide yourself fairly well. But you have left your two comrades also in the vestibule waiting. What do they do?
I start sneaking in too, kind of trying to just hide in the shadows, skulking about.
I'm hanging in the back to see how it goes for these two.
What should I roll, Bridget?
Skulking. Prowl.
Oh no.
Yeah, So you start prowling, but instead of staying to the shadows, you almost immediately step into a very well-lit area, and the two guards that are down facing the courtyard point, and you can see them. They spot you, and they start running up to you. Or they're going to run across the courtyard and talk to you.
I run to hide.
What? Okay, we'll do your hiding in just a second. Chuckles, you have seen Squish successfully kind of mimic the other guard's steps and is stealthily sneaking away. And now you've seen Patches take two steps and immediately be spotted.
Oh, dear. So I guess you guys just walked right through the courtyard. Is there a way to go through the halls around the side of the courtyard? Or that vestibule just leads right into the courtyard and that's it?
So the vestibule does lead right into the courtyard, but there are like halls on the other side. So you don't have to like just cross the whole courtyard sighted or visible. You could go to the sides of this courtyard.
Yeah.
After you like cross the initial smaller area of the vestibule.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Instead of like trying to go towards the guards, maybe I will go along the side towards where Patches is, but in the back, like along the wall, almost like right shimmying across the wall.
Like a old classic.
Yes,
like,
exactly,
you know.
Like that. Yes. Yeah. As if I have camouflage across the wall. I'm not even sure we're the same color, but I figure if I miss flat to the wall as possible, that may help.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll your prowl. So, with complete stealth, you kind of disappear into the wall that you're shimmying, and you're like a chameleon almost, and you're able to like scoot yourself into this, cross the vestibule unseen, and you hide in the shadows of the hallway where it is not as lit and not as well visible. Let me add that too. Two for shimmying. That'll make me laugh later. So you guys are fairly well hidden at the moment. Patches, you're not. The guards are coming up to you. How do you want to play that? You see two guards, like, heading towards you, walking briskly towards you, pointing at you. They've spotted you.
Sorry. I'm going to run and hide in a bush, maybe.
Okay. So you're just going to try to, like, just lose them in a bush?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just in the shadows or in a bush or something like that, you know. Roll for bush.
You're just going to turn around and then jump into a bush.
I mean, I figure, you know, this is a good enough distraction for you guys. I'll take one for the team.
Okay. You want to take one stress and then benefit them? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm hiding. Or I'm just saying, okay. No, I'm just trying to be a distraction.
Okay.
I'm already pretty stressed.
Roll your finesse. So you're able to spot a bush a pretty good distance away, and tell me about how you jump into that bush to hide.
Okay, so I immediately, they see me in the light, and I book it, and I'm like Scooby-Dooing booking it, and I lose them in the shadows for just a split second, and I see this bush, and it's the perfect bush. We're talking, that's nice, it's hollowed out in the middle, it's a perfect kind of bush. And I run up and I do a ginormous leap in the air like I'm diving off a diving board, and I dive into the book. And if this was a pool, I would have won an award. Since it's a bush, I still win an award. All right. And and the bush didn't shake at all. It was like how, you know how divers dive into a pool and it's like it doesn't even leave any, like it's like that with the bush, barely shook.
Now you're just lost in the bush. They look in the bush and they can't find you. They're just moving branches, and you have just become liquid in the bush.
Yeah, it's the perfect bush dive.
He has become bush league.
I have bushed. Yeah, and yeah, and now I am a bush. I'm bush people now.
So you've disappeared into the bush. Now, Squish, you have been tailing the two guards that were walking the opposite way towards the other courtyard where you guys need to be. Now, they have seen the other guards running past. You know very quickly that they are also going to turn and see what the commotion is, which would make you visible. How would you like to respond to that?
I'm also going to dive into a bush.
Okay, yeah, roll your finesse.
That makes more sense.
Bush diving, 101.
I do it almost as good as Captain.
Yeah, it turns out that you guys actually are pretty good at disappearing into bushes. It's a strange skill that nobody's ever known before. You've also like jumped and disappeared into the bush. So now, Chuckles.
Yeah.
You have seen both people disappear into bush. You're well hidden.
Yeah. But I am jealous.
Do you want to do anything, or did you? You are jealous. Do you want to dive into the bush too, or do you want to wait it out and see what happens?
I think waiting would be a really good idea, but I'm gonna try diving into the bush.
Sure. Yeah.
Bend the bush.
Don't.
So you've gone to dive into the bush, but unfortunately, you know, you kind of picked a small one.
I am a small man.
And instead of hiding you as you would have hoped, you kind of just roll into the center of the courtyard, you know, you kind of tumble the wrong direction. And so now, instead of hiding yourself, you are now in the middle of the courtyard with all four guards' attention upon you.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
They see you now. Because you were in the shadows.
And I popped out of nowhere.
Of the hallway. you popped out of nowhere. You did kind of this like tumble, roll, and stand up. I imagine that it was a lot like Willy Wonka when he like falls and tumbles down the carpet.
And everyone
he just pops up, and everyone's just like, but you did this in a way to be stealthy, which obviously is the opposite of it.
Right.
And so you have four guards quickly that are surrounding you because the guards that were heading towards Patches have now seen you jump literally out of the bushes, I suppose, and see you, and they surround you. You other two are on either side of the courtyard. So Brandon, you were on one side. Patches, you were on one side. Squish, you are on the other, and you see Chuckles between the two of you, surrounded by guards. What would you two like to do?
Leave him for dead, I'm sure.
My God, you are just the biggest wet blanket sometimes.
What do you mean the biggest wet blanket? I'm about to be murdered in cold blood.
And you assume we're going to let that happen? Yes.
I know that's what Andy's going to say. It's going to be the first thing out of his mouth. See, I don't give a shit. I'm going to go into Tam Tamaram's house and do a fart, probably.
And I'm going to sleep with your girlfriend afterwards.
I know he's already thinking about it.
Chuckles doesn't know that, though.
No, I still don't know about that. And we're not going to come to blows.
Guys, do you think it's time for Hotman to come out again? Is this a Hotman situation?
I mean, I feel like Hotman has made some really good progress in suppressing his urges.
All right. So we got him, deal. He's bright. We'll pull him out as a distraction. Yeah. Let them chase the hot man.
Yes, but don't
and not you.
Tell him to go wild.
Don't burn anything ever.
Don't burn anything.
Don't burn anything ever.
Works for me.
That's what I'm doing.
So in a flashback scene, you guys had mentioned, while you're sitting at the table waiting for your dinner to go and say, after you watched, the Saganaki get lit by a hot man, you're like, you know, if shit should go down tonight, just let Hotman out. But don't let him burn things.
Don't burn things ever.
Odd thing to say in the middle of dinner.
Only cheese.
Maybe
yeah, he's only allowed only to.
Maybe we heard him when that demon came out to do fire. We heard Hotman sensed it, and he was just banging on his bottle. He was jonesing.
I want to burn cheese and other things.
He turns.
All right. Patches, you have Hotman.
Yeah.
You have to do a little dance to get him out.
Oh,
it's thankfully my bush cave is pretty big.
My bush cave. <That's> disgusting.
So you let him out? Is that
But I let him out. But I'm gonna give him instruction. I let him out, and I'm like, hey man, listen. I know you want to burn things. I think we've weaned you off it. We haven't taken it out in a while because, let's be honest, you burned a lot of things. However, my little buddy out there needs help. Okay, and. Sorry. I need you out there. But don't burn things, all right? Remember, we've been saying this mantra. Don't burn things ever, all right? You just get out there. You run down the path, run out the door, and get the cops to follow you. Get those guys to follow you. You're big, you're bright, you're a glowing personality. They'll follow you and just vanish after that, you know? You understand? Okay. Are you burning? Are you okay?
So as he's got enough situational awareness that he is like a relatively small ember at the moment, kind of like a mini version of himself. And he's like, don't burn things.
Don't burn things. Yes, yes. Just glow. Just glow your shine, boy, you know?
And run.
Run
like a streak.
Roll your command.
What?
Run around like a streak.
Roll your command.
Oh, I was telling you.
Oh, yeah. Run around like a perfect, yeah, a streaker that's on fire. Thus, I command.
Uh, he gets it. He grows to his normal size. He's a normal human size. He is a light. He just waves his arm in the air and just goes, woo, and starts booking it down the courtyard. And like a dog that's got a ball it wants to chase, it just starts going, and he's running circles and like trying to be a distraction, waving his arms in the air, you know, jumping. And he's like, look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm on fire, woo! But he's not burning anything. He's leaving a small, you know, burn stain on the grass where he is. He can't help that. Burn stain on the grass.
He can't help that.
But he just starts running, and you see the guards, and they go, "Oh God, not again!" And they take chase after him, and the four of them run out of the courtyard of the university, and you guys are left alone in the university grounds.
All right.
I'm running. I'm shouting from my bush into the bush cave. I imagine my bush. Every time I talk, the bush shakes a little bit. Like, you know, when I'm talking, like, Juggles, get out of there.
Is that a talking bush? Am I Moses?
No. It's co-captain Patches. Yeah, I'm a bush captain now. Get in here.
Co-captain Patches who?
Mackenzie.
Oh. All right. Of Clan Mackenzie.
I've come to cut your head off. Get out of here. All right.
So do I have to dive into the bush again?
Yeah, you have to dive.
We can go to the other courtyard, guys.
Yeah, so he Patches pulls you into the bush. And you guys sit there for a while, hearing in the distance Hotman's hooting and hollering as he runs down the streets. But you don't see any smoke. You don't hear any alarms go off. And how long do you guys sit there until you realize there's no one else coming?
It's a pretty nice bush cave. I've pretty much set up camp in here already. I've got like a little setup going on in here. I think the Hotman's become a little bit more controlled. Don't you think? I'm really proud of him. He's really developed.
He's grown.
He is grown. He's grown from a little ember to a raging bonfire, and now we got him as a controlled little flame.
Yeah. I mean, look at him go.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I'm really proud of him. Hopefully he doesn't burn all of Lockport down afterwards, but we got to take it as we can, right? Now, where is the demon? Where is Squish? Is he in his own bush cave?
I'm waiting by the door to go to the other courtyard.
Oh, don't you want to come in our bush cave?
Yeah, so you guys have been talking in your bush cave. No. Squish realized after a few seconds that no one else was coming and just stood up and walked casually, like, over to the door to the other courtyard.
Oh, I guess we should probably wrap up camp here, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, I stand up, too, and come out of the bush cave.
Oh, sorry. Wait. This would have been useful to have.
You were in that bush?
I forgot I had this one. You were in that bush the whole time. Yeah, so you guys walk through the first courtyard. You enter the second courtyard. And, Hotman's screaming and shouting did, in fact, kind of clear the guards temporarily out. You're also noticing, too, that the secondary courtyard that you're in has, like, the entire courtyard has just been cautioned off with tape. From your earlier activities, there are, you know, little like number cards around where the shells from Squish's.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, Squish? I hope.
Do I see my hat?
What?
My top hat.
Do you see your hat?
Did I leave that? My top hat?
Yeah, you did leave that. And it's just kind of like lying in the middle of the spray.
I'm going to pick that up along with the shell casings.
Okay. You pick them up and pocket the crime scene.
You tamper with an active investigation.
You return to the scene of your own crime and tampered with it.
You are a real sicko.
You cross the courtyard. You just kind of walk around this reminder of your shame. And you get to the botany offices, and you see the hallway that you need to head down.
All right, is there a door on it?
No. So there's no door to get into like the hallway. But to get into his office, yes, there's going to be a door.
All right, Duckles.
Yar.
No, that's mine. Oh. You say that's me.
That's me. I'm Chuckles.
Can you pick the lock on Dan Zarian's office?
Yeah. You sure it's the right door?
Yeah. So as you guys walk down this hallway, you know, botany is about flowers, right? Lot of like, it's not about buttons. You see a lot of like really cheerful, like the doors are very cheerful. Like one of them's got like a sunflower on it, and one of them has a daisy, and one of them has a violet. And then you guys pass Tam Mazaran's door, which is just a dark, decrepit door, like with locks and padlocks. And it looks haunted, and really sticks out on this otherwise cheerful office floor.
This is odd. Maybe Patches, do you want to attune to this door in case there's ghosts or something in it?
Oh, no, of course. This door definitely seems haunted. I've always said people who are into botany are creepy individuals.
That's not a pun.
No, but I also might have been thinking about people who are obsessed with buttons. I thought botany was something. I'm not letting that gag go just yet. Should I attune, Bridget?
Yeah, attune.
I will attune. All right, what am I feeling?
Gassy.
So you attune, and you are not... You don't feel anything like a ghost or a demon or anything like that. But you do sense that there is life of some sort on the other side of the door. And you say some sort because it's not like you can tell something. You're like, there's definitely people back there, but you can't tell something's up.
Something's up back there. It's not. This is definitely weird. You want to try picking it?
All right, Chuckles.
All right.
Do your thing.
Do your stuff.
Keep you around.
Tinker. Door.
That door.
You're able to open the door or take the pick the locks that are covering the door. But as you're doing so, you notice that there is light under the door and that there are figures who pass. Kind of from one side of the room to that. Like, you can see their figures cross and shadow the door on the other end. And you kind of just hear a general sort of, like, shuffling on the other side.
You guys sure you want me to open this? There's some people on the inside of there. Or something.
Well, we have
something
to get
that
in
casts
there.
A shadow.
Oh.
All right.
Could be a ghost.
I guess...
Oh, Squish goes first with his gun drawn.
All right, well, then, I'll open it. But I'll open it in a way that I'm hiding behind the door as I open it.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm a scaredy cat.
All right, does everyone see that?
Oh, man.
I don't like how it's called Madness Lab.
So, I had a little fun with the Tam Mazarin's Madness Lab. That was just fun. I just had fun. We have fun here. I came up with the name, and I thought that's such a silly name. So you open up the door, and it's not quite like any office you were expecting. And it's more than just an office. You kind of open the door, and you walk in, and you're greeted by kind of a central open area. And you can see there are multiple rooms leading off of this central area, like this, like, waiting room, essentially. And there's a door in the back that says laboratory. Not laboratory, laboratory. On the very back wall. But when you walk in, you don't hear anything. You don't see anything. The lights are on. There clearly was someone here either relatively recently or forgot to turn off the lights because they're, hate the environment. But it otherwise looks normal. There are tables and chairs in front of you. Like I said, you can see a room off to this either side, door in the middle, laboratory. But it looks empty.
Mm-hmm. All right, we should try to find his desk. That's probably where he's going to keep the stolen papers.
Yeah, let's loot his lab.
Are you going into the lab?
Yeah, loot the lab. No, I want to find his desk. Is that in the lab or is it off to a side?
So, you kind of poke your head around. So through the door on the left is like a storeroom. You see there are lots of dried herbs in there, lots of boxes, lots of just random assortment of things. Obviously, you can look and get more, but it's definitely a storeroom of some sort. On the other side, yes, is his office. You can see that his desk and chairs and table are in there, and it looks like this is where he most recently has been writing their stacks of pages.
Okay, I want to go towards his desk and start going through and looking for the Neelix papers.
Okay, Chuckles and Patches.
Yeah, I'm just surveying the room, taking a look around, seeing what I can find, going through and shit, looking through drawers, picking up pieces of paper.
Are you going towards the office or are you going to the storeroom?
Where did Andy go again? The office?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll go to the storeroom then.
Okay. Oops. Let me get down here. I should actually add you. Hold on. So, Patches, you're in the storeroom over here. And we've got Tarquish over here. And then Chuckles, you?
Well, yeah, I straggled in because I was hiding behind the door when I heard nothing happened. So I came and walked around. And now I'm by myself again.
Are you scared?
Yes.
Just standing.
I'm scared.
Standing in the middle of the room.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of, I'm kind of looking around. I don't really know what to do at this point. So,
are you shaking?
No, I'm not shaking. I'm not that scared. So I might just sit down on the stair, the stoop, and take a beat, and then be sad for a second that my friends left me.
So you sit down on the steps leading into this place. You are directly in front of a door. And you see that it has letters on it. This does say laboratory. I'm assuming it's going to take you a little bit to figure out.
Yeah, put up a timer.
Read through it and
put
pick
up
it
a clock.
Out. Yeah. Put up a clock. Learn to read. All right. Squish, if you want to roll your survey to see what you find in his room, you're welcome to do so.
Okay.
Two ones.
Two ones and a six.
Only one of those counts.
Turns out.
Yeah, it's the highest. Let me look. What I got here? Sorry. In his office, his desk is filled with a lot of papers. A lot of it you don't understand. There are like a lot of recipes there, a lot of scientific notations. This is clearly kind of similar to a chemist or an alchemist workshop where there's just a lot of notes. And one of the first things that you find, though, on the table is a black envelope with like gilded lettering and gilded edges on it. And when you flip it over, it says Lockport Flower Society. Or sorry, Lockport Flower Garden Club.
Oh, well, can I open it or take it with me?
Yeah.
A flower business.
Are you opening it or are you taking it with you?
I'll take it with and then keep searching for those lost Neelix papers.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead and you pocket those that invite or that card. Patches, what are you looking for?
I'm just kind of rooting through the through his closet, you know, seeing if what I find. Is there anything good in here?
Okay. Same thing. Do a survey.
Are there any hats?
Any cool things I can possibly add to my repertoire?
So as you're going through the recipes, unfortunately, you're not very culinarily inclined, nor are you a botanist. So you don't really understand what it is that you're looking at, but you're looking at a lot of like what looks like dried herbs, a lot of solvents, a lot of like actual like soil, like potting soil that you see quite a bit. Nothing that really, really sticks out to you, but you do recognize that all of the packages have the same label on them.
What's the label?
All of the label. Well, I will tell you.
Lockport Garden Society
is the Lockport Flower Garden Club, like an inventory list, like a packing list on the outside from the Lockport Flower Garden Club.
Oh goodness!
Oh, the LFGC.
And then Chuckles, you've stared at the door long enough that you do see that it says laboratory.
Oh, laboratory!
You have made out the word.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I guess I wouldn't know this, but Patches went in where? What was the name of that one?
Patches went into a
storeroom, and Squish went into an office. I was like, well, yeah, I'll go into a laboratory.
You approach the laboratory door. It's a really heavy door.
Yeah.
Unlike the doors that were like just typical exteriors, you can tell this is a very, very heavy door, and it is locked.
Oh. That's how you know that there's some good stuff behind it. I'm going in the lab. I'm going to tinker this thing open.
All right. Think away.
Easy peasy.
The lock holds no resistance for you whatsoever. You're able to just easily unlock it and pull it open. But when you do so...
Mm-hmm. I'm greeted by balloons, confetti. Congratulations, Brad.
Congratulations. You're our biggest card store.
With candles.
Yes.
With candles.
Yes, I'm the 1,000th customer.
Oop, don't play that one. No. Well. Anyway, you walk in, and you... The lights are dimmer here. This is a very large, semicircular room. There is a lot of more, activity in here in that there are flasks on stoves. There are things bubbling. There are things brewing. This is more an active part. You see lots of flames and Bunsen burners. There's less light than there was earlier. It's very dimly lit. But you do kind of hear people moving around back here. But you can't quite see them yet. Like as you're sitting on the stairs, you're looking through the doorway, you can hear people shuffling around, but you haven't been able to see them, who it is.
Okay.
Okay. Squish, Patches, anything from you guys?
So after I went through the desk, I would probably walk towards the laboratory and see that Juggles went inside to go, and I would go right behind him.
You're following
me? You enter the laboratory as well. Patches?
Yeah, I'm just kind of wandering around. I guess I'm going to see what the hubbub is about.
Okay. The three of you kind of gather in the doorway. And as you do so, you hear this shuffling. I say shuffling because it doesn't sound like footsteps. It sounds like people really just dragging their feet. And from the very dim light ahead of you, eventually you see what looks like a person crossing the floor in front of you. They haven't seemed to take any sort of notice of you, but this is a very, very pale man. He looks very, very dazed. He doesn't look like he hears you or sees you. He's just kind of walking. He is a student. He's dressed with the varsity varsity letters on his chest. And you guys
bullet wounds in their ass.
They do. They do have a few bullet wounds in their butts. This one in particular.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Do you think they remember that they got shot in the ass?
They probably don't remember us, but they probably remember that hat.
They can't see the hat.
It blends in with bushes.
And labs.
Yeah, and the laboratories. Uncle, St. Peter, the boy that shot.
Oh, really? If only you hadn't done that.
If only you hadn't caused a school shooting.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's no evidence to link it back to me now.
This isn't exactly a court of law.
As you guys stand here bickering.
You think they'll attack us?
Maybe if we don't move, they won't be able to see us.
Patches, you got anything you want to add?
I'm just trying to hide so that they don't see us. I'm going to try to see what these guys are up to.
So you're going to enter into the laboratory?
Yeah, but sneakily.
Okay. So, yeah, Patches, go ahead and roll your prowl.
Oh, that's not good.
You're famously not great.
It's famously not good at anything.
Oh, that's
not wow. And you're really good at being mean.
That's what I was going for.
Oh, well, you got nothing in that, huh? You take one step down the stairs onto the floor, and the front door, the office door that you came into, like from the hallway, slams shut.
Uh-oh.
And you hear someone with fast footsteps walking up behind you.
Okay, turn around. Who is it?
It is Tam Mazaram.
Oh, does he see me?
Hold on.
Does he like me?
Sorry. You think after 3 years, you know. Sorry, I've lost him. Oh, there he is. Tam Mazaram. Tam Mazaram's wearing a very, very dark hood. He is a very pale-looking but very angry and frustrated man, and he walks in, sees the three of you standing into his laboratory, and he goes, "What the hell do you think you're doing?"
Uh-oh. This is not where we parked our ship, is it, guys? No. We got kind of around. Is this where the bathroom's at, actually? Actually, I think we're actually in the bathroom.
Yeah, ignore the map slightly. He starts walking straight towards you, and you guys are, Patches, you are in the room. You have already entered. Chuckles, Squish, he is heading straight towards you. Are you going to stand your ground, or are you going to fall back into the laboratory?
I'm going to fall back and try to hide.
Okay.
You said it's not that dark, or it's not that light in here.
Yeah, it's very poorly lit. You're not able to see much. Yeah, so you skedaddle into the darkness of the lab. Chuckles, you're standing there.
I would just naturally just follow Squish. He's the big one.
All right, I got a plan.
So you got a plan?
I got a plan.
So you guys, you follow Squish into the laboratory. Tam Mazaran, walks straight in there. He slams the door shut behind him into the laboratory. And you all have gone to run and hide. And he goes,
You can run.
What?
I didn't hide.
No, you didn't hide. I'm sorry. You're standing there.
Shook.
Shook. I'm sorry. What were you? What were you planning on doing once you were found?
Oh, I'm gonna pretend to be a drunk student.
That's your plan.
And I got lost.
You are a drunk student.
It's a perfect crime.
He slams the laboratory door beside him, and he like storms down the stairs, and he grabs you by your cuffs, and he goes, "You can't be in here. What are you doing in here?"
Hey, man. I thought this was where the party is, Yar. You know, I'm shore leave, and I'm a student at this school, and I'm very drunk right now. Where am I right now? Is this the boat? Is this Jorge's? I swear I was at Jorge's recently. Where is this? This place smells funny, and you got a bathroom in your hallway down there. You know that, right? And I'm just really trying to be drunk as possible, and it's really coming easily. I'm finding it's very easy to slip. It's like in my head, I'm like, man, this is way easier to act like I'm drunk than I thought it would be.
Maybe because you are drunk?
Yes. Go ahead and also roll your sway to see how convincing you are. He takes you and he goes, "You can't be in here. They haven't finished cooking yet." And he kind of shoves you over. And from the darkness, you hear this kind of like shuffling, and you see another of the students pass by. You're close enough now, Patches, though, that you can notice the very gray, unearthly pallor of their skin. Their whole visage looks like it's just been drained entirely of color. His mouth is a little slack-jawed, and his eyes are very unglazed or glazed.
Your students here need a tan, man. You should go to the beach. Yar.
No, you idiot. They're not. They're the boys from earlier. They weren't supposed to be done yet.
Done? What do you mean,
yes,
done?
I've tried bringing them back to life, and it's all gone horribly wrong.
They were dead?
You butt killed them? Wait, what? They're dead? I mean, whoa, man. I need a drink.
Tamara's right. Oh, it's kind of good. Looks like he goes, you're absolutely useless. Come on, we got to get out of here. And he goes to grab you and pull you out of the laboratory. Do you go with him?
Oh, sure, yeah. All right, let's go.
And
I give like a wink to the shadows that Juckles and Squish. And I don't know. It turns out they're in the wrong shadow. I'm just winking at some random corner.
He drags you, Patches, out of the laboratory. He slams the door shut. You, Patches, see, and you guys hear, he locks the door behind him.
Have a good sign.
Leaving you trapped in there with now, as you guys realize and start counting, you can see there are three of the boys you had shot earlier are now zombified, wandering, rambling around in the laboratory. And you, Patches, Tab Mazran has a fist on your collar, and he's pulling you into the storage room. And he says, "I've got to stop this. We've got to stop this. Come on, you can be my assistant. You can help."
Hail the Junk Fort Boys! In the night they roam at pace, solving woes with fire and explode. With a clash and a crash and a twist of fate, explosions mark the hours, never late.
Everybody sucking down on chili dogs.
Oh yeah, chili dogs. Just getting down with some chili dogs.
Chili dog now.